There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Third and final of the show. You're listening to The Grill. We're broadcasting live from a very balmy Barasti. Balmy as in a big crowd in already in a beautiful evening. Sun's just setting behind us here from our commentary position up here on the rooftop garden. I'm here with Mr. Ross Crist, who's sporting a very fetching T-shirt. It's getting a lot of regards for his T-shirt this evening.
Yeah, this is from my college. It's an establishment there called The Junction, short for J-Bar, and they make it a little shirt here, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. So making a little play on words there, but Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
It's a goodie. So Ross Crist in situ, as is Mr. Mark Archer. He's watching the Premier League opener this afternoon. All sorts of storylines coming from this game. Just no goals at the moment, Mark Archer.
No, 0-0. 15 minutes remaining at Wembley. It's Tottenham Hotspur. We're hoping to win and jump above Manchester City into second place in the Premier League, but they are yet to score against Newcastle. Newcastle on the back of a great victory against Manchester City, the reigning Premier League champions, last weekend. And Rafa Benitez are starting, both managers actually, starting to both make changes now in the final 15 minutes. But the game is still deadlocked. Here's an interesting stat for you, Tom, about this match. Spurs have dominated possession over 70% of this match. I can tell you, though, that here's the stat. Goalkeeper for Newcastle, Dubravka, he's made the most passes for Newcastle in the match of 28 so far.
Going to keep an eye on that one for you. But coming up from 7 o'clock, whole host of kickoffs in the Premier League. 5 Premier League games off at 7 local time here in the UAE. Our feature game, courtesy of all the team at Talksport, will be Chelsea against Huddersfield, which makes for an intriguing game because of what's gone on over the last 7 days for both of these two respective teams. The man who's going to be calling it for us today is Mr. Dan Wheeler, who joins us live on the line now with team news and, of course, some of those backstories as well. Interesting, Dan, I've just been looking at some of the comments in the matchday programme today from Stamford Bridge. Sarri saying, in no uncertain terms, he finds it difficult to accept or explain their second half performance on the South Coast midweek. They must show the strength of character to respond today. Some suggestions, he's at something of a crossroads at the moment.
Yeah, by his own admission, really, because he obviously took the high-risk strategy of calling out his players and publicly criticising them after the 2-0 defeat against Arsenal. And again, it backfired spectacularly in that record, humbling at the Vitality Stadium, 4-0, their second heaviest Premier League defeat, their worst since the mid-90s. And since then, in the last few days, he's been talking about, obviously, how hard it's been to motivate his players. He's wanting to change the way they play. He's unwilling to compromise his own beliefs and how that should be at the moment. And he's asked for patience. So it'll be interesting to see how patient Roman Abramovich is. We know historically that's not his strongest suit, but we'll have to wait and see. Anything other than a win today, and that criticism, that spotlight is going to be even more intense on the Italian. But Huddersfield, I've seen them once this season recently at Fulham. They were absolutely awful. And what sort of effect will Jan Sievert have? He's got a huge job on his hands as well. But Chelsea, heavy favourites today. Sarri will certainly hope that that's the case and they have a comfortable win.
Yeah, let's speak about Jan Sievert if we can for a few moments, because he's obviously been brought in at Huddersfield just to keep the club up if he can. He's obviously got his work cut out given where they are in the table and the points they have to their name at the end of January. What would be his approach? Has he got the wherewithal, has he got the talent to work with to keep them up in this division?
I think that's going to be very difficult, and listening to the sort of noises coming out of Huddersfield over the last week or so, they do seem quite realistic about their chances. I think there's no doubt behind the scenes they are going to be planning for life in the Championship next season. That's may well what they've told Sievert, who's come in. They've gone back to the same route that they had with David Wagner, of course, from the Borussia Dortmund reserve side. They've watched Sievert for a while, actually. He's been on their radar for quite some time. So this is a plan. It's not a knee-jerk reaction and just think, quietly, who else can we get? So this has been on the cards for a while as far as Huddersfield are concerned. But, I mean, the plight at the moment looks fairly hopeless. Bottom of the table, 12 points off safety. It looks a forlorn task. I think he just wants to try and make an immediate impact if he can. He couldn't do that against Everton in the week. 10 defeats in the last 11 Premier League matches. For him, I think it's all about little steps, really. If he can get anything out of Chelsea today, that will represent a massive one. But I think, yeah, next season they're looking ahead to coming back in the Championship, regrouping. And the real work, I think, for Sievert and Huddersfield will start in the summer.
Dan, we talked earlier on the show about the January transfer window and the lack of activity as opposed to previous transfer windows. One player that has been brought into the Premier League, Gonzalo Higuain, how's he going to fit into the Chelsea style of play? Is he going to add to them? Do you think he brings a lot to their game of play? And how's it going to work out for him for the remainder of the season?
Yeah, interesting point, because he's got a fantastic goal-scoring record, as I'm sure everybody knows, 224 career goals. And I was reading before this match, in the top European leagues, five leagues in Europe, since 2006, only Aguero, Cavani, Ibrahimovic, Ronaldo and Messi have scored more goals than Gonzalo Higuain. And obviously, of course, he knows Sarri very well, so that's important for the Chelsea head coach to get a disciple in, someone that he knows. Chelsea are in chronic need of a regular goal scorer, of course. Yeah, there has been some talk about whether he is the right fit. For most of his career, he's been a target man who likes to thrive on balls coming in from the flanks. Chelsea don't play that way, of course. Interestingly, though, the stats at Bournemouth show that he is immediately trying to adapt his game, Higuain, because he spent a lot of time linking up with Eden Hazard, dropping deep, concentrated on a number of passes together, something like 20 passes in between each other to try and establish some kind of understanding. So it seems, as much as we can tell on first impression, that Higuain is willing to perhaps work on how he plays the game. He knows that he's not going to get loads of crosses into the box this time. Chelsea play a different way. He's on loan, of course, from Juventus. There's an option to extend that and to make it permanent in the summer. So he has got something to prove, I guess, to try and earn that move. But his record suggests that he is exactly the sort of striker that Chelsea need. And hopefully for them, this one will come off, because it hasn't worked with the likes of Morata, of course, who's being pushed out of the club now.
Dan, I'm going to come back to you for team news in just a few moments. Just going to break away very quickly. We hear excitement down there at TalkSport HQ, and we got a good reason now, because it's just flashed up on our big screen here in Dubai. Mark Archer.
Yeah, we've finally broken the deadlock at Wembley. Tottenham Hotspur 1, Newcastle United 0. 7 minutes remaining, and it's the man that's been over in the UAE plying his trade for his country of South Korea has broken the deadlock. Son Heung-min has scored, but I've got to say, it's a shocker in goal by the Newcastle goalkeeper Dubravka. He's basically just fumbled the ball over the line. He's missed a pretty straightforward save that you would have thought a Premier League keeper of his class or calibre should have made. But 7 minutes remaining now. Tottenham Hotspur 1, Newcastle United 0.
Let's get back to Dan Wheeler for a bit of team news. We're talking there about Gonzalo Higuain. Does he get the nod today, Dan?
He's okay, yeah. He was a bit of a doubt for this game because he had a bit of a back issue. He was taken off at Bournemouth after an hour or so. But he's okay, so he's fit enough to keep his place in the starting lineup for Chelsea. Christensen is also back at the expense of Rudiger. Alonso also returns at left back. And Ross Barkley comes into the midfield. So they still have this Jorginho-Kante conundrum, with Kante operating on the right-hand side of the midfield three. And lots of talk about the youngster Callum Hudson-Odoi. It wasn't in the party for Bournemouth, but he is in the 18 this afternoon. Huddersfield make five changes from the side that lost by a goal to nil at Everton. Smith, Love, Billing is back from injury, and Penza and Moy starts for the Terriers this afternoon.
Looking forward to this one. I think you made a suggestion a little bit earlier on. You're expecting Chelsea to be too strong for the Premier League's bottom placed team this afternoon?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Chelsea, we know they've struggled the last 2 weeks in particular, but a different sort of opposition. I think Bournemouth at home are very good. And before that, of course, it was the Arsenal game. So Huddersfield, unless there's an enormous improvement, I can't see them taking anything out of the game. They got a point in this fixture at the back end of last season, which guaranteed their Premier League survival, but I'm afraid I don't see a repeat.
Looking forward to the commentary. It's live here in the UAE. You, Mr. Dan Wheeler, alongside. Who have you got alongside you this afternoon?
I've got Liam Lawrence with me today. Looking forward to it.
And as are we. For now, Dan, thank you very much indeed for your time. That was Dan Wheeler joining us live from the UK ahead of his commentary, his live commentary of our feature game, Chelsea against Huddersfield. But if there are any other goals in any other of the 7 o'clock kickoffs locally here in the local time here in the UAE, you will hear them first here on Dubai I-103.8. And stay tuned straight after the culmination of that game. You've got Cardiff against Bournemouth to look forward to at 9:30. So, going to be shifting our attention to all things rugby in just a few moments' time. They must be making their way out onto the field round about now, Mr. Mark Archer.
Yeah, first kickoff of today's two matches in the Six Nations Championship is taking place at Murrayfield. Scotland will be entertaining Italy, of course, the late kickoff, 8:45. Get on down to Brasti, takes place at Aviva Stadium. They will see the defending champions, Ireland, host England. It's a doubleheader of Six Nations Championship rugby.
One thing that we have been talking about a little earlier on was all things Super Bowl, and one thing that the Super Bowl know to do well is to build the atmosphere of a game, is it not, Mr. Ross Crist? And do we sort of see a bit of a bleed over into rugby at the moment? Certainly seems to be a little bit more pomp and circumstance, a few more fireworks, a bit of smoke before the games. I know that Wales have very much gone to town on it in recent years.
Yeah, I mean, they're stealing from the good ideas from us, and we're taking some of the good ideas from you. So it's good that cross-breeding from these sports is helping each one out. But I was just telling you, we were talking about this, I think, 2 months back. I don't know any other sport in the world that has much of a pre-game festivity than the sport of international rugby. Yeah. Between the singing, the lining up, the passing of the flags, the haka dance. I mean, there's more build up in a rugby game than I can think of in any other sport. So I always look forward to seeing that before the internationals. So I'm looking forward to that in the Six Nations.
Looking forward to it throughout the remainder of the show as well. We'll take a short break here on The Grill. You're listening to The Grill. We're live here at on Barasti, up here on the rooftop. So if you are in the vicinity, if you want to watch the rugby, if you want to watch the Premier League, if you want to watch your sport this evening, then Barasti is where you need to be heading. This is The Grill, live from Barasti.
Unbelievable goal!
This is The Grill, live from Barasti. Enjoy your weekend with a 99 dirham main and a hop lunch combo.
Yeah, this is The Grill, live from Barasti. Let's tell you what's going on in the world of sport. Let's start with the Premier League. Mark Archer, eyes on that screen over there.
Yeah, only 4 minutes of added time remaining at Wembley, and we've just seen a late goal by Tottenham Hotspur to means that they lead Newcastle United 1-0. It was the man from South Korea, Sun Heung-min, who scored. It was a shocker from the goalkeeper, Debravna. It was basically a shot straight at him. He's let it go through his body, his hands. It's gone to the back of the net. It means that Tottenham Hotspur, if they maintain a 1-0 lead, will go second in the Premier League, a point ahead of Manchester City. So 3 minutes remaining at Wembley. Spurs 1, Newcastle United 0.
Let's have a look at the leaderboard, shall we? Let's go to the world of golf. Ross Crist.
We'll look at the Saudi International right now. This is at Royal Greens Golf and Country Club. We have a purse of $3.5 million for the Saudi International. It's DJ alone in first place at 11 under. He's followed by Xander Lobart, who's at 8 under. Hatton Lee, who did well out here in the UAE, he's also at 8 under. Scott Hend is at 7 under. Friend of the show, friend of mine, Ryan Fox, he's doing well. 6 under, shooting well out there. Good work, Foxy. If you're tuning in, keep it up. Proud of you, big dog. Elsewhere, the Phoenix Waste Management Open out there in TPC Scottsdale. Ricky Fowler all alone at 13 under. Justin Thomas, 12 under. Brandon Grace, Trey Mullinox at 11 under. Matt Kuchar at 10 under. Cameron Smith at 10 under. And Bubba Watson is swinging the pink driver well out there. He's at 9 under, posting a score of 66 in 67. And I can tell you one thing about Bubba Watson. He loves hole 16. He loves rallying up the fans. So it'll be interesting to see him on day 3 and on day 4 out there, because hole 16 is one of his favorite holes in all golf.
The French Coupe de France game is underway. Entente taking on Nantes. It's no goals in that one, 17 minutes in. Early kickoff over in Italy as well, where Empoli are taking on Chievo. No goals in that one, 16 minutes in. Two more games later on this evening at 9 p.m. You've got Napoli against Sampdoria, and Juve taking on Parma at 11:30 this evening. Games also in the French Ligue 1, and more games to look forward to in Spain. Real Sociedad taking on Athletic Bilbao at 7:15. Barcelona entertain Valencia at 9:30 this evening, and the late one at 11:45 sees Celta Vigo entertain Sevilla. Plus, your German Bundesliga gets underway in around about 10 minutes' time, so I'll keep an eye on the early kickoffs there. The rugby is underway at Murrayfield. Mark Archer.
Yeah, 2 minutes into the action of the first of two matches in the Guinness Six Nations Championship at Murrayfield. No tries on the board yet, but Scotland are hot on attack inside the Italian 22, and they've got a rolling maul going from a line out. Can they push it over? Can they bundle it over? Well, we'll have to wait and see. There has been collapse just before the line there. Let me bring some team news from this match. For Italy, the captain Sergio Parisse makes his record 66th Six Nations appearance. That's a record in the championship. And I can tell you that Conor O'Shea, Italy have got a pretty bad record over recent years. They'll be looking for a much better performance in the Six Nations. For Scotland, the Australian-born centre Sam Johnson will make his Scottish debut. It's an all-Edinburgh club front five, and Newcastle flanker Gary Graham and Leicester hooker Jake Kerr should feature from the bench at some stage. Tommy Seymour replaces the injured Sean Maitland on the wing. So that's the news from Scotland in terms of Gregor Townsend's selection. Let's have a quick listen to Gregor Townsend on this match and on his lineup for this match against Italy in the Six Nations Championship.
Yeah, well, we've been pleased with how the players have been training, and there's been a lot of competition for places, and we brought three players in to win their first caps, two off the bench, and Gary Graham and Jake Kerr. And Sam Johnson gets a huge honour of starting for Scotland for the first time. These are players that have impressed us at training. Sam, we know better, having coached with him at Glasgow, and also the form he's been over the last couple of seasons. Gary and Jake have really shown this year that they can make that step up to test level. I expect a really good performance from Italy. They're well coached. They've had some big results over the last few seasons. I remember when they beat South Africa. They're a team that always plays well against Scotland. They probably target us as a chance for them to get a win. The opening game of the tournament is always going to be tough, no matter who we play. They're physical. They're big forwards. So when they carry the ball, they are strong. They're also very physical in defence, and the way they defend is they fill the field very well. They've got a really good set piece, but they also have ambition. Of all the teams we were playing in the Six Nations, they kick the ball the fewest. So they've got a game plan that will mean that they can take the game to the opposition, and it'll always be a difficult opponent for us. The Six Nations is all about momentum. If you think back to last year, if Ireland hadn't kicked a drop goal in the last minute or into injury time, obviously they wouldn't have had the Grand Slam, but they probably wouldn't have gone on to be champions. So your first game is very important to get the points on the board, but also to create that belief that this could be the year, and move on to the next challenge. We didn't get things right last year in our opening game, so the focus is for us to make sure we start well, we're tough to beat, we're accurate when we've got the ball, and we outwork our opponent for 80 minutes.
That was the Scottish coach, Gregor Townsend, talking about the first of today's two Six Nations matches. Scotland pressing hard on the Italian line. 5 minutes gone at Murrayfield. It's still 0-0, but Scotland hot on attack. They've just had a try ruled out for a double movement, and now they've got the ball inside the 5 metre line, putting a lot of pressure on the Italians.
Because this is what Gregor Townsend has promised that he will bring, isn't it? He's a very attack-minded coach, isn't it? That's what he's done at Glasgow in recent seasons. That's what he wants to take to the national side.
Yeah, and he's had great success at Glasgow, and he's had a pretty good run, I think, for Scotland, who have seemed to be played some good style of rugby in the last 12 to 18 months, and he's continued that there. But as you see, yeah, 5 minutes into this match at Murrayfield, we are seeing Scotland hot on attack, trying to score their first points of this 2019 Six Nations campaign, Tom.
Keep an eye on that one for you. It's the first of two intriguing games to look forward to this evening. Just to let you know what's happening in the cricket as well, they are underway. England against the Windies. Windies are resuming on 272 for six, a lead of 85. They've extended that now to 280 for six, a lead of 93. They've still got those four wickets remaining. And by all accounts, the pitch is playing up a little. But again, goes back to that D word, discipline in in the windy side. No rash shots, no chasing of the game at the moment. So we keep an eye on that. Right, let's look a little ahead, if we can, Mr. Mark Archer, to the later game in the Guinness Six Nations this year, which is a much anticipated one because it pits two of the favourites for the tournament against each other in the first game for them both in this campaign.
Yeah, it's a mouth-watering clash, isn't it, taking place in Dublin at Aviva Stadium. 8:45 UAE time, get on down to Brasti. It's all the actions on the big screen down here. It's Ireland hosting England, and what many people think may be even a decider at this early stage. Joe Smith is the coach of Ireland. Of course, they are ranked second in the world, and they're defending Six Nations champions. A little bit of team news. Robbie Henshaw will play fullback for Ireland. Conor Murray returns to scrum half, and that's good news if you're an Irish fan. Let's just have a listen to Joe Smith run through his team and talk about how he feels Ireland are going to go in this big match against England.
Team to start the Saturday against England is Kian Healy, Rory Best, Tyke Furlong, Dev Toner, James Ryan, Peter O'Mahony, Josh van der Fleer and CJ Stander. Rory Best, obviously, is captain. And then in the back line, it's Conor Murray, Johnny Sexton, Jacob Stockdale, Bundy Aki, Gary Ringrose, Keith Earls and Robbie Henshaw. The replacements are Sean Cronin, Dave Kilcoyne, Andrew Porter, Quinn Roo, Sean O'Brien, John Cooney, Joey Carberry and Jordan Lama. People have different approaches. I think it's incredibly important to respect your opponents. I think it's incredibly important to acknowledge what abilities they bring to the game. And, I don't think for a moment that it's going to be boring. I think it's going to be incredibly exhilarating. I think it's going to be edge of the seat because I don't think there's going to be a huge amount between the two teams. And so, I do think people are going to be entertained. And one of the great things about being in the Aviva Stadium is the entertainment is partially provided by those outside the pitch supporting the team in the manner that they do. I think the support that we got in those last few minutes, last time England were here, until that ball was lost forward by Mike Brown, was huge. It was as loud as I'd heard it since 2013, probably when the All Blacks were here, and probably the loudest I've heard since is the All Blacks in November, when again those last phases of play until Brodie Retallick put that ball down, it was huge. And so, I think the players feed off that excitement, and it's almost reciprocated by the crowd. And we know we're going to have a big crowd in, and we know that they're going to be incredibly supportive and at the same time respectful of our team and our opponents.
That was Joe Smith talking ahead of his team selection to take on England in Dublin at 8:45 UAE time. What does the opposing coach have to say about the whole thing? What is Eddie Jones' thoughts? Well, his team selection includes Manu Tuilagi making his first Six Nations start for 6 years. The Fit Again brothers, the Vunipolas, Mako and Billy, will both play. And Tom Curry and Mark Wilson will also make their Six Nation debuts at one stage. Elliot Daly will be at fullback for England ahead of Mike Brown. But let's have a quick listen to Eddie Jones on his thoughts on the big match at 8:45.
All the selection's been difficult. We've had a great squad here of 36. It was hard cutting the 36 down to 25, and then we had to cut the 25 down into 15 that start, 8 that finish, and 2 support. But definitely the locks. We've got 4 great locks, Joe Launchbury, Courtney Laws, George Cruz and Murrow, and increasingly the decisions between those 4 is difficult, and we've just picked basically what we feel is right for the Ireland game. Courtney will come off the bench and Joe will support us, but those guys will feature strongly in the Six Nations. Because Ireland's such a high possession team, they're a 54-55% possession team, there's a lot of breakdowns in the game, and we really need a specialist number 6 in that area, and Wilson and Curry leaves us very well equipped in that area. Yeah, always a tight one. Look, we've gone 4 Elliot since the end of the Six Nations. We want to develop his attacking fullback. Brownie's in great form, trained really well for us, and I'm really pleased the way he's going. We just feel that if our team's right in terms of supporting the fullback, Elliot will do a great job for us. Yeah, he was definitely penciled in. So then Manu's trained exceptionally well. We trained him at 12, fitted in well. He's in great physical nick. you know, he wants to play, he's ready to play, and we've been really happy with Slatey at 13. We like to have that left footer there. His range of skills suits the way we want to play, so then it became quite easy to have Manu and Elliot together. And some players are like that, you know. There's no doubt that Billy and Manu both have that bit of, whether you call it charisma or mana as a New Zealand cook, that people like playing with them and they get confidence from them.
This is The Grill, bringing you the biggest sports stories right now on Dubai Eye 103.8.
This is The Grill, broadcasting live from Barasti, where the game is always on. Right, let's see if we can't just get around the grounds very quickly to tell you what's happening in the world of sport. One result to bring you from the Premier League a little earlier on. Late goal rescued Spurs as they beat Newcastle at Wembley. 1-0, thanks to Son's late goal with 7 minutes to play. That one's finished, so Spurs getting the 3 points that they were after. What's happening in the rugby, Mark Archer?
15 minutes gone at Murrayfield. It's the first of today's two clashes in the Guinness Six Nations, and Scotland have scored their first try of the 2019 campaign. It's gone to Blair Kinghorn, the winger, the left winger, in fact. It was a kick and chase, and then he regathered. He goes over, and it's try time, Scotland. So the kick from the corner was unsuccessful by Greg Lainlaw. So the score after 11 minutes, it's Scotland 5, Italy 3.
Let's also go over to the cricket, because that's underway. And the West Indies, still no wickets, or haven't lost any further wickets. 281 for 6 is the score for they at the moment. They lead by 94 runs with 4 wickets remaining. Just a quick update as well, because some shocking news coming through that Alzari Joseph will continue to take part in the Antigua test. There was doubt over his participation for the remainder of the game because his mother died earlier today in very shocking circumstances, but apparently he has come out and said that he wants to continue to play in her memory. So it'll be interesting to see how things go there. And also, we'll keep an eye on that throughout the remainder. So West Indies 281 for 6. They lead England by 94 runs with 4 wickets remaining. Let's talk more about the Super Bowl, if we can, because it is obviously one of the big stories of the weekend. It's one of the big sports stories of the year. I'm still sort of reeling from the sort of backstory on Tom Brady that you were filling me in a bit earlier today. So doing a bit of background on that. So he was the 199th pick of the sixth draft, is that right?
Yeah, sixth round of the draft. So there was 199 chances that a team could have taken him before New England took a gamble on the University of Michigan product. So yeah.
So six other teams drafted quarterbacks before the Patriots chose Brady. They've done a little bit of a look back in time of whatever happened to them. The Jets used the 18th pick on Marshall University quarterback Chad Pennington, who went on to have a good career.
Yeah, he actually did have a good career. He had a very productive career in the Big Apple. So he's well-liked as far as the Jets go. They haven't done well in quarterbacks in a long time.
The 49ers drafted Hofstra's Giovanni Carmazzi in the third round with the 65th pick overall.
There's
he
a
did
good
nothing,
there,
did he?
There's a good chance I did more in the league than he did.
I was just reading it. He never played an NFL game.
I don't think he actually saw the field, did he?
The Ravens selected Chris Redman out of Louisville in the third round with the 75th pick overall.
Yeah, he got in. He played a couple years as well, I believe. He also might have been a two-sport athlete. He might have played a little bit of baseball as well. I'm going to look that one up.
Tennessee's T. Martin was taken in the fifth round by the Steelers.
Yes, he was. T. Martin, and now he's doing a productive job as a college football coach.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so okay. He's still in the game.
Mark Bulger of Western West Virginia was taken by the Saints with their 168th pick overall in the sixth round. Did he end doing anything?
Yeah, he did good. Bulger had a very productive career as well. I think he made it to one Pro Bowl, too.
And the Browns drafted Spurgeon Wynn out of Minnesota as well.
Well, if the Browns drafted him, there's a good chance he's unemployed right now.
No, he's now an energy broker for an energy services company in Houston.
Okay, well, he didn't do anything regarding the game of American football, because the Cleveland Browns is the factory of sadness when it comes to drafting people.
Here's a question. This is a good discussion probably for another show at another time. But, Roscoe, would you have rather been one of the coaches that didn't draft, or one of the teams that didn't draft Tom Brady, Or would you have been one of the two coaches or teams that didn't draft Michael Jordan back in his draft?
Yeah, it's just one of those.
Because he went third,
right?
I think.
Yeah, so it's just one of those back and forth questions. I think the Jordan one probably hurts a little bit more because Jordan's just such an iconic name. So,
but when you, on the Brady thing, I'm just doing a little back, and there's been some pictures during the rounds earlier this week about his draft picture, you know, him in these sort of dorky shorts, and he's not a physical specimen by any means or anything like that. So what is it? Is it his reading of the game? Is he an intelligent footballer? Is that what sets him apart?
Yeah, he studies the game inside and out. If you want to see what it's like, a life with Tom Brady, Google that actual phrase, a life in the day of Tom Brady, because he had camera crews follow him around last year. And it's just amazing how much attention to detail he has. He's very knowledgeable about the game. He's a fan of the game. He eats, breathes, and sleeps football when he's not with his family. He's either family or football. And I think that's led to a tremendous amount of success for him. So, he's going to be taking on a young quarterback in Jared Goff, another up-and-coming quarterback like Tom Brady was when he first got into the league. One man that went against Tom Brady for the last 17 years, this man played in the NFL for the last 17 years, is Julius Peppers. Julius Peppers announcing today that he will retire. Number 4 on the all-time sack list. He played many years with Carolina, then he did a couple years in Chicago, a couple years in Green Bay, then most recently came back to Carolina trying to get a Super Bowl. He actually never got a Super Bowl. He played in a Super Bowl, but he never got it. But he voiced and penned an emotional tribute retirement video that I'm going to play out for you now. I think it's awesome.
Thank you for the victories and the good times, for the lessons and the times we desired more, for the sacrifices, the belief, the confidence, and the unwavering support. I'm thankful, because without you, this wasn't possible. Thank you for the spirit, the resolve, and the attitude to keep pounding. It's not something we just say around here. It's how we live. I'm thankful for the things you showed me about life that were bigger than football, and for a second chance, a new beginning. You see, the players, we come and we go, but the constant is you. And as the saying goes, once a Panther, always a Panther. Thank you for the memories, the friendships, the laughs, and the culture we created, for the understanding, and for being family. Thanks for all the years and cheers, and for being home, now and forever. I wouldn't change a thing about this journey. It was the best teacher I've ever had, and was everything I could have hoped for. The tough times never lasted, and the tough people inspired me to be better and give more. I hope I did the same. Only time can reveal what's next, but my time here is up. No regrets, no looking back, and nothing left to give. It's not goodbye. It's kind of like I'll see you later. But until then, I'm grateful, I'm satisfied, and at peace with all that comes next. Thank you.
Julius Peppers there, number 4 all-time NFL sack. For number 4 on the all-time NFL sack list, so certainly a first ballot Hall of Famer. He will be enshrined in Canton in a few years' time. He's a man who tormented Tom Brady throughout the year. He got to Tom Brady a couple times, and he tormented many quarterbacks across the league. So hats off to Julius Peppers. A very good tribute. It's not goodbye. It's I'll see you later. So I thought it was pretty good there.
Going to come back to you in just a few moments' time, Roscoe, as we continue our build-up towards Super Bowl 2019. 53rd, is it?
Yes.
53rd Super Bowl. We'll have more on that in just a few moments' time. Quick update from some of the live sport. Let's start with the cricket, where a wicket has fallen. Jason Holder's time at the crease has come to a conclusion. Lovely delivery from Jimmy Anderson, who apparently is bowling better this morning than he was yesterday. Decent length, maybe a touch short, just rises on Jason Holder. A bit of extra bounce holding. Surprising Holder as he dangles his bat out. Ball takes a healthy nick off the outside edge and flies through to Johnny Bairstow at shoulder height. So Bairstow with the catch, Anderson with the wicket. Jason Holder goes for 22. The ball's done a bit, though, thanks mainly to the pitch. And I'm sure with Kumar Roach coming to the crease this now, Jason Holder, the West Indies captain, won't be too bothered about that wicket, given the fact that it seems to be moving at right angles at the moment.
Yeah, it's all about quick runs for the West Indies. Get a big lead, then get England in batting again and try and knock the top off the order with the new ball. If it's inconsistent and bounced like this wicket looks, it's a nightmare to bat on if you can bowl the right lengths and get the batsman committing forward onto the front foot and you get that ball hounding. I don't know if you saw Joe Root's dismissal in the first innings. It did get big on him from a length and he could only glove it to second slip. But we've seen some action at Murrayfield, Tom, and you're a happy man because Scotland have doubled their lead. They now lead Italy 12 points to 3, and it's two tries for the left winger Blair Kingholm. First try was a kick and chase, a beautiful cross kick from the fly half. Finn Russell was gathered by Kinghorn and he went over for the first try, and he's just scored from a set play from an attacking scrum. The ball got switched across to his wing. He bundled over in the corner. The conversion's being kicked by Greg Lainlaw. And after 23 minutes at Murrayfield, it's Scotland 12, Italy 3.
Christo.
There we go. Get the update there. Scotland 12, Italy 3. It is Super Bowl 53. This is going to be played in Atlanta, Georgia, Monday morning at 3:30 in the morning. If you need to know anything about these teams, here's your Super Bowl 53 preview.
We're finally here at the Super Bowl, and a lot of people's legacies will be impacted by the outcome of this game, particularly people like Tom Brady, who could win his sixth Super Bowl, becoming the player with the most Super Bowl wins in history, passing Charles Haley. And boy genius Sean McVay can completely fulfill and maybe even surpass all the hype by becoming the youngest coach ever to win a Super Bowl. But neither of them are going to decide the game. I'll tell you who will. And that player for the Patriots is going to be James White. Though Sony Michel has kind of been their star in the backfield this postseason, the Rams seem susceptible to pass-catching backs. You go back to the championship game, Alvin Kamara had 11 catches and nearly 100 yards. And James White is comfortable on a big stage. If you think back to Super Bowl 51 against Atlanta, he had 14 receptions for over 100 yards and a touchdown in some of the biggest, most pivotal plays at the end of that game. And that guy for the Rams is Ndamukong Suh. We all know about Aaron Donald, defensive tackle, maybe one of the greatest players on defense of all time in the NFL. And if we know about him, the Patriots know about him. They're going to try to scheme to take him out of the game, which gives Suh some opportunities. And he's been stepping up throughout the postseason, with 1.5 sacks in the championship round against Drew Brees and a game-clinching tackle of Ezekiel Elliott on fourth down in a divisional round. But he has his work cut out for him. This interior of the Patriots' offensive line have only given up 42 pressures all season, and Tom Brady hasn't been sacked at all in the playoffs. If Sue and Donald can get to Brady, I think that bodes well for the Rams, and they could be walking away with that Lombardi trophy. But that's not how I see things going. For three reasons. One, because James White is going to exploit those matchups against the linebackers of the Rams. And two, I think the Patriots' defense is a lot better than most people think. And three, Tom Brady or Jared Goff, obviously, I'm going to give it to Tom Brady. So I think the Patriots are going to win their sixth Super Bowl, tying them with the Steelers for most Super Bowl wins in NFL history.
It would be their sixth Super Bowl, tying them with my hometown Pittsburgh Steelers for the most Super Bowls ever with six. So a lot of Pittsburgh fans will be watching this game in intent, because right now we sit on top of the throne with one for the thumb. On the other hand, with six Super Bowls, six rings. So Tom Brady looking to do that, solidify himself. He's coached by a man named Bill Belichick. He knows a thing or two about football, and he's going against a young head coach in Sean McVay. Kind of old versus young. However, these two remain friends throughout the year.
When you look at Coach Belichick, the best thing that he probably does is, you know, the relationships with his players, but then also the ownership and the expertise that he possesses in the game of football, how to set up game plans, how to put players in a position to consistently succeed, and having a standard and having a process that they're committed to. In a lot of ways, you know, that's very similar to what we try to implement with the Rams. I think from a motivation standpoint, like I've said over and over, and like, you know, you'll hear our team, our players, our coaches talk about, it starts with foundationally building and developing a relationship.
Building and developing a relationship. Words from head coach Sean McVay of the Los Angeles Rams, looking to win Super Bowl 53 Monday morning, 3 a.m. Halftime show is going to be Maroon 5, Travis Scott, and Big Boy. I know Tom's a big Boy fan.
Yeah, yeah.
Maroon 5 made some news this week because they didn't do a presser. This will be played at Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta, Georgia. Don't worry about the weather. It's indoors. Gladys Knight will be singing the national anthem. Jim Nance on play-by-play. Tony Romo on color.
Patriots start as favorites, I take it.
Yeah, they're actually playing the underdog card right now, as you heard earlier in the show. I Ross Crist think the Patriots are the favorites, though. I think Patriots, I'm going to go with experience in this one. Tom Brady certainly seems how to know win a Super Bowl, having won five of them. So I'm going to pick with the New England Patriots in this one for my pick over the Los Angeles Rams.
Any recommendations of where to watch it?
Yeah, so McGettigan's will be doing a Super Bowl watch party, and Perry and Blackwelder is also in Madinat, Souk Madinat. So if you want to head on down to Souk Madinat if you're around those parts, or you can join the boys with the EAFL if you can avoid all communication, not talk to anyone at work or school. You're going to be able to watch it Monday night at Buffalo Wild Wings at 6 o'clock with all of the American commercials that come along with it, which you can't watch with it. So hide yourself. If you want to watch the American commercials, come join us in the EAFL Monday night at Buffalo Wild Wings. If you want to watch it live, I'll be at McGettigan's and Perry and Blackwelder's 3:30 a.m. kickoff. So stay up all night or get up early.
Archie, you all over it?
Yeah, I'm supposed to be watching it at P&B's, but I do struggle to get up at 3:30 in the morning on a Monday, so that could be difficulty. It could be at home on my couch, but we'll wait and see. Me and Robbie Greenfield are hoping to combine and watch it if he does show up this year to watch the match early on the early morning.
Robbie Greenfield, we know what you
there,
do.
Is there? Is a bit of history there?
Yeah, apparently he was a no-show last year with Chris Bicardi, who struggled to get out of bed at the best of times, was there at 3:30 in the morning, and Robbie Greenfield was a no-show.
I might be speaking out of turn. Robbie might have came 1 year. I'm not 100% sure. Robbie, I'm sorry if you're listening at home. Tell me if you've been there, but I hope to see you there this weekend. Breaking news coming out of America. Punxsutawney Phil did not see his shadow, and he predicts an early spring. My parents will be happy because they are just getting pounded by some weather right now.
That is what's happening stateside at the moment.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.